Brandon.
Yeah.
I think we have need to have a little bit of a talk. Do you have a second?
Yeah, man. What's up?
Yeah. You know, this is episode 10 of FDR's Wheelchair.
All right. We're doing good, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. We are doing good, Brandon. I would have to say I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud
Thanks,
of
man.
How you've made it to episode 10.
I try really hard, man.
But we need to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I got some ideas.
It's not about that. It's about that. It's about your attitude. You're well, quite cross.
What do you mean?
You're quite angry at times.
I get passionate. Yeah, of course. I mean, we're talking about very passionate things. Like
you've been negative towards me and our first guest.
I was not too negative. I mean, you balance is good.
This is not time to talk back. This is time to listen, reflect, and change for the better. Now, I am expecting better attitude on this 10th episode.
Hey, I don't know where this is coming from. I thought we were getting along pretty well, and I'm not talking back. It's a podcast for two people.
I mean, all I tried to do during a podcast on episode 8 was open up a bottle to get a drink of water, and I got yelled at. Is that acceptable?
Well, you know, I'm very concerned about the sound quality of this. I really want it to be top-notch, and when you're opening a bottle in front of the microphone, I asked you not to do it multiple times. I don't see how this is on me.
Can I ask you just one favor?
What? What do you want?
To try a little bit harder this time. That's it. That's all. Just a little bit harder.
I feel like you're coming down on me pretty hard, Dave.
I just want a little bit of change. That's all. Just a little bit.
Is this about the Alabama thing?
Do we have to go there?
I'm not apologizing to them. They should apologize to me, Dave. Is this about me calling them Nazis as well?
No. Brandon, this is not about the Alabama kid fuckers. This is about you. This is about you and your behavior. And this podcast moving forward.
I can't believe this. This is ridiculous.
Is it going to be better or is it not?
You know what? I'm going to do what I do on this podcast, okay?
Okay.
So, wait. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
What is that? What? That's a big needle, Dave. What do you? No.
No. Come here.
No.
Come here.
I don't.
Just a little.
Hey, I'll be good, little. Man. Let's talk about this. I'll change my behavior. Hey, Dave.
No.
My friends, this is a day of national consecration.
A date which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Brandon.
It's our 10th anniversary. I mean, our 10th podcast. I slipped up a little there.
It is our 10th podcast. It is kind of like an anniversary, though, isn't it?
Yeah. You've been doing such a great job with it. Hey. I really appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot. Are you feeling okay?
I feel great. You know, okay. Really serene. Yeah. I feel just calm inside now.
Would you do me a favor? That Band-Aid you keep trying to peel off of your arm, could you keep it on just for about 5 more minutes?
Of course. Whatever you say, Dave. Okay, very
good. You must have gotten a scratch earlier, I think.
I'm very clumsy.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Good.
I'm sorry to distract you with my Band-Aid fidgeting. I won't do it anymore.
That's okay, bud. Good job.
Okay. So, what are we going to talk about this week, Dave?
Oh, man. Well, I have some good news, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, I like good news.
Your neighbor, Anatoly, is alive.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He is not kidnapped.
Well, that's good. No one likes to be kidnapped.
He's living next door.
Good, good.
Yes. As soon as I left last week, I saw his truck pull in. I gave him a little wave, and, you know, that was a nice relief, you know.
That fills my heart with joy.
Yeah. I was going to post it on our Facebook page and Twitter, but I thought our listeners would enjoy, you know, waiting 7 days to, you know, find out whether or not our first guest is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful of you. You're always very thoughtful, Dave.
Thank you very much. It adds a little bit of suspense to our episodes.
Oh, look at you go. Yeah. Okay. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. You know what's coming up excited. In a week from today?
No, Dave, tell me.
A week from today is the election.
Oh, how very exciting.
Oh, yes, definitely. And next week, we are going to do a special podcast. We're going to talk about the history of voting.
That's superb.
Absolutely. So anybody who out there who's taking their Xanax or their melatonin or having a little drink before bed, if you really want to get that deep sleep next week, listen to our episode on the history of voting.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited.
And then after that, guess what we're going to do? I got a special for you.
Are we going to have hugs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And pie.
Pie.
Yep, it's going to be favorite. November. Thanksgiving time.
Sweet.
Yes. We are going to Facebook Live election results.
Facebook Live? That's my favorite.
Yes. Yes.
Yay.
If things go well, we're going to celebrate. If things don't go well, guess what?
We're going to celebrate life.
I have a special gun.
That's not nice,
for me
Dave.
And for you.
Oh. Well, if you insist.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Now, I heard one of our friends is hurt.
Who?
Mitch McConnell. He had bruises on his hand. That turtle fucking motherfucker. I'm back, bitches! I'm back!
Grab the needle. Grab the needle, goddammit.
Get away from me. I ain't doing this shit.
Here we go. Oh, man. What the hell?
Take more drugs to take me down, motherfucker.
Oh, man. Oh, I need a drug with a half-life of more than 3 minutes. Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
Try to sedate me, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. It was good while it lasted.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
do you remember what we talked about?
Not a clue.
Oh, good. That's nice. So bruises. Who's got bruises?
Oh, the Grim Reaper.
Oh.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Don't fear the Reaper, because I'm just fine. Oh, my God, Lindsay. Lindsay, I've got all these bruises over my arms and on my lips. What's going on here?
I have a theory, Dave, of why he has his bruises on the back of his hands.
Why would that be? No, who's he? You're talking to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mitch. I know why you have bruises on the back of your hand, motherfucker.
Much better. Why?
Because you've just been bitch-slapping all those senators around because you wanted to get your fucking judge appointed yesterday, and you had to fucking do it old school, didn't you?
Had to do it old school. Had to slop some bitches.
Yeah, you went around there and you just fucking knocked the shit out of them. Except Susan Collins, who gave you that bruise above your lip, and she didn't obey, did she, Mitch?
No, she didn't.
Yeah, I'm on to you, fucker. And I know what you did to Lindsay.
What did I do to Lindsay?
Well, let me bring him in. I'll find out.
Oh, hey there, buddy. How you doing there?
Hi, Mitch. I don't know why you had to be so rough. I was only asking, why did we have to confirm the Senate? Don't hit me again, Mitch. Don't hit me again. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, these are the times to try men's souls, Lindsay. Now bend over.
Ooh.
I said bend over.
Okay, Mitch. I'll bend over for you.
No punts, Lindsay. No punts.
Oh, you know I don't like pants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Okay.
Is that better? Where's your vote now?
Yay.
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 I was just asking, Mitch Bear, why we had to appoint the judge so quickly. I mean, we told Obama that we wouldn't appoint so quickly near the election. You just came around telling me that I had to vote yay, and I just had a few questions, and then you just went all a fluster on my face with the back of your hand.
It depends. I just did a hybrid Mitch McConnell and Z Graham.
Can't even keep it together for the bit.
Oh, my God,
man.
I got to break this character. Jesus Christ, man. Oh, fuck.
You haven't even called me an amoral queer yet.
Oh, man. I'm sorry there, Lindsay. Didn't mean to get my southern drawl there going on a little too much. Oh, wait, I did it again. No.
It's all right, Mitchy. Bad happens to the best of us.
Oh, man. So I saw right before I came over today, that guess what the Senate's doing right now?
Circle jerk.
Possibly. Possibly. That's not corroborated information, but there's a good chance that there's a circle jerk going on. So very late last night, they confirmed Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. That was last night. So guess what they decided to do today since they were so busy confirming a Supreme Court justice?
Oh, I'm sure there's something with the Supreme Court that they're trying to push through.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Elementary kids and balls. Guess what the Senate did, and your hint is elementary kids and balls.
Elementary kids and balls. That
it's called a riddle.
It's called a fucking riddle. It's a riddle I don't really want to answer.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
It's called recess. And they're going to wait till after Election Day to bring up COVID relief.
Of course they are.
Yeah, so while Amy starts to save the babies, our people are going to be dying even more of COVID-19 because Senate can't get it together in time to pass COVID relief.
It's not they can't get it together. They won't get it together.
True.
I mean, right. They could absolutely right. get it
they
together.
They just don't give a shit.
No, apparently not.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's how important the priorities are. For Christ's sake, confirming a justice isn't even, that's not legislation. Their number one job is to make laws, and they can't even do that.
And the justice was the quickest confirmed in U.S. history.
The absolute quickest confirmed in U.S. history.
Was it 30 days? They did it in?
I mean, we did our episode on RBG in the middle of September.
Fuck me.
You know, now it's the middle end of October. So, yeah, about 30 days is right.
Fucking disgraceful.
Yeah, man. And like we've said all along, it's not Coney Barrett. It's not her fault. It's not even the freaking president's fault. It's politics, man.
It's hypocritical politics that we keep voting these people in, that keep doing this to us. Why do we do it?
God, if only we had a chance coming up soon to change this predicament. If only we had a chance.
Nah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my God, I know if you're listening to us, there's a really good chance you have some level of sophistication higher than we do. And that you're probably going to go vote. Please don't forget to go vote. Just don't do it.
Just do it. Just fucking vote. That's all you have to fucking do.
Yeah, that's it. Just go to
them. Do you know there's the early voting has surpassed 40% of all voting in 2016?
It has surpassed all voting.
No, 40% of all voting, in 2016.
That happened in 2016. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And it surpassed all of early voting in 2016 about a week ago. So it's people are pumped up. They're excited. And it's great for democracy. When you see voter turnout increase, that's great for democracy. I mean, that's been a criticism of American voting habits since the beginning of time. We have the lowest voter turnout of virtually any democratic country in the world. And it is actually increasing. Even while there are people in power that are trying to squelch the vote.
Yeah. And one of the biggest gripes, like, if you're talking about voter fraud, people not being able to vote, like, all this stuff that's happening to suppress the vote, nobody's doing a fucking thing about it.
Right.
No one's, like, trying to expand. Even Democrats aren't even, like, doing anything to help get more people to vote. You could really locally go out and help people vote. Give rides to the elderly, to the voting place. Yeah, put up more drop boxes in counties. There's a bunch of things you can do. Increase, if you're really afraid of voter fraud with mail-in and absentee voting, do something.
Right, and you have time to do it. It's always a reaction. These systems need to be developed and put into place and put into practice before Election Day, before election season. It can be done. I mean, we've done it. We did it 100 years ago. We did it 150 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, we can't figure out appropriate voting practices. It's ridiculous. But again, it goes back to that fear that there is widespread voter fraud. And the last time I checked, actual voter fraud is like 0.00004%. And people get confused about voter fraud. They consider attempted voter fraud to be voter fraud. That's not true. Voter fraud occurs when an illegitimate vote gets counted. And that is minuscule.
Negligible. I mean,
yeah.
I saw a statistic. It was between 2000 and 2016, there were 356 legitimate fraudulent votes counted. 356 between 2000 and 2016.
Let me guess. Liberal, Mexican, gay, satanic. All four of those.
Hey, don't mix the Satanists with the gays.
Oh, man.
Monster. So it was 356 out of 1.6 billion votes cast.
That's insane. So here's the thing. You know, if you love democracy, if you love what the foundations of this country and all democratic republics are made out of, you want as many eligible voters to vote as possible. If you want to do anything to squelch that vote without any legitimate concern of real voter fraud, then you're anti-democratic.
Yeah. Period. No, it absolutely true.
Yeah.
And this kind of scare tactic has been going on. I mean, it's been more insidious in the past. Like, we've had literacy tests.
Absolutely. Poll taxes.
Poll taxes and stuff. And one of the questions on a literacy test in Georgia was, how high is up?
Dude, you know what, man? I'm fucking...
I don't know. It's about three spliffs.
I've been really high a lot of times, and I may or may not be high now, but I don't know how the fuck high up is. Dude, speaking of that, have you seen Biden's voter commercial with Samuel L. Jackson?
I haven't seen that. I've heard about it.
Oh my God, listeners out there, go to YouTube. Like, pause this episode. Don't delete the motherfucker. Pause the episode. Come right back to it.
Okay?
Or do. Yeah, we will know.
I'll know.
We'll come get you.
Okay? We'll find you.
We'll find Anatoly's kidnappers, and we'll come kidnap you.
I'm talking to you.
Dude, check out the Biden commercial with Samuel L. Jackson. He's going to make you vote. Trust me. You'll be afraid not to.
Is it? Where is, like... he does that story, go the fuck to sleep. Is it like,
yeah,
go the fuck to vote or
go
something?
Go the fuck to vote, man. It is so badass. You're going to love it if you haven't seen it. So go out there and watch it. But, you know, it all boils down again, man. It's like, look, if every eligible voter voted, the Republicans would have to completely reinvent themselves to ever win a presidential election again or to win either House of Congress. They know it. They know it. And they're trying to do everything. They're in the last throes of desperation to stop it.
I don't think they're in the last throes of desperation. I think they're doing a pretty damn good job, and they know it. They're actually, I mean, they control the House and the White House, or the Senate and the White House.
But that's going to be short-lived.
We'll see.
I think it's going to be short-lived in the long term. I think they know they have a real problem with young people, with minorities.
Once the baby boomers are gone.
Once the baby boomers are gone. And even older people now are getting pissed off.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's no demographic that the Republicans are gaining voters in except for, like, the toothless and uneducated, like, Alabama. Bleep, fuckers.
that beep was child. Child fuckers.
Do you need more medicine, Brandon? Do you need more medicine?
Yes, actually. I was much happier.
We need a more docile podcast.
So did you talk about the older voters? Did you see in Florida where they try to have I think Pence went out there and he was doing like a pseudo rally basically to get the older voters out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the place that he went to, but they all brought Biden signs.
Oh, that's great.
On their golf carts and shit, and they were trying to...
It's not going to be too much longer before I'm one of those older voters.
Not too long.
You know, it's coming up. I got random ear hairs coming out of my ears, and I got to trim my eyebrows, and I'm taking prostate medicine, and I think I might be fit. Yeah, I know, man. I ran out of prostate medicine, and now it takes me like three times the amount of time to pee that it normally does. So my wife finally picked up my refill today. I'll be back flowing back to normal in a few days, ladies.
Wow,
funny. That's a medical condition. I got a ticky ting problem.
I can't do this right now. Where's that fucking medicine, man?
We call that a sidebar, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we are just defaming FDR as we speak.
It's going downhill quick.
Oh, yeah.
Not for you, though.
No, it's not. Just a little bit at a time. Oh, so that's what we even really didn't decide to talk too much about voting turnout and voter fraud and stuff, but it just happened. It just happened. It's in the forefront.
Yeah, next week we'll dive into it in real depth.
We're gonna be paranoid as fuck next year because we're gonna be like on the cusp of knowing who's gonna win this election, what the Senate's gonna be, and oh my god, one of us or both of us might die live on air. We might just have a heart attack or something.
I don't think I'm going with the heart attack. I think I'm going with the brain. Yeah, like a stroke or something, like stress induced stroke, and I'll just ever see that show Stress Derek. Bane popping in his head. That'll be me, and I'll just pop and I'll just fall on the floor.
I want to know what the podcast is going to sound like, just the sounds of one of us trying to revive the other.
Hey, get up.
Get up. Then it'll be like
back. Jesus.
Moving to Bama. Moving to Bama. Run, kiddies, run.
All right, so what the fuck are we talking about?
Dude, believe it or not, we're going to talk about the census.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going
to... We did promise that last week.
And then we're going to talk about Joe Biden's tax plan. Okay, yeah.
No, I'm going to talk the shit out of it because you know how much...
prepared.
I was... when did I text you? Was that Sunday or Saturday?
We text each other every day.
Well, about the plan, about the tax plan. I went, holy fuck, this is...
Yeah, it was just a few days ago. You were like, this is really insane. I don't understand what I'm reading.
But that's why I'm going to talk about it. And we're going in detail. I got notes.
Oh, yeah.
I got notes, motherfucker.
Yeah. Very good.
So, let's talk about the census. So why is the census so important?
All right. So the census is actually in the Constitution. All right. Article 1, which talks about the legislative branch in Congress, also talks about the census because the census is used to determine representation in the House of Representatives. That was the original purpose of the census. Since then, it has been used to appropriate funds to certain pockets and pools of the population, depending on population density and need and demographics, such as, poverty and things like that. It's used to determine services, essential services like, fire and police and emergency medical services, 911 dispatches and things like that. The Constitution requires that it happens every 10 years on the zeros, and it is intended to count, and this is constitutional originality, you conservatives, to count all living humans, whether you believe they're human or not, as part of the United States population. So again, if you're going to count the unborn as people, you are also going to count undocumented people as part of the population. And you can't even count the unborn babies as part of the population. All right? So, there you go. So.
There you go.
There you fuckers. Go, right there. All right? So.
I got a question.
Yes.
This is actually a legitimate question.
Yes.
It's not me trying to set you up for a bit, but that when they take the census, does that have any. Anything to do with federal relief or natural disasters, like say a hurricane takes out Bama, hurricane, come on, one of you, there's fucking five, I mean.
It doesn't affect the actual, it does, absolutely. It doesn't make decisions about who to give relief to, because those like disaster reliefs are by need, but once it's been decided to allocate those funds or that help, it helps disperse it to the areas that need it the most. It has the most accurate count of where people are. So it helps out with the logistics of the entire operation. So you're just not throwing money and resources at a general area. It's not a perfect science because it's every 10 years, but it does give you a really good snapshot of where those resources need to be allocated. All right. So, like, again, going back to the Constitution, it refers to it as actual enumeration. That translates into an accurate count of all living people. And that's not something that's interpretable. That's not interpretable at all.
No.
That is straight language coming straight from Article 1 of the Constitution. So if you don't believe that every single person in the United States should be counted as part of the census, you would be a judicial activist in a court case. You would be a liberal because you are trying to initiate change to the original intent to the Constitution. The Constitution, which does talk about things other than guns, just FYI. Yes.
So obviously we have, we've just had the census and they cut it short a little bit. Did they actually cut it short?
They cut it short by 1 month.
1 month, yeah.
Yep. And that's important, not just in a normal decade, but it's important because of COVID, because they've been having to play catch up with, all the delays that have been happening. So what's going to happen as a result is that there's going to be a severe undercounting of the people living in the United States. And even before COVID, there was the case that went through the court system of the citizenship question that the Trump administration wanted to ask on the census.
Yeah.
Yes. And Brandon, how many people would have been undercounted if that citizenship question would have been asked?
Well, according to the Census Bureau's own experts, estimate that households corresponding to 6.5 million people would not respond if the question was asked.
Correct. They wouldn't respond because they're afraid to respond.
Yeah. And it's also good to note that this, if you're a citizen or not, it doesn't get shared with immigration or ICE or anything like that. So technically their fears are unfounded, but I don't blame them.
Right.
Especially in this administration.
Absolutely. They don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's studying up on it. You're going to lay low as much as possible. You're not going to answer a question of someone who comes knocking at your door that has a name tag on. Okay, and this went all the way through the lower courts and went through the appellate courts.
I don't fucking answer the door now.
No shit, man. Unless it's me.
Yeah. Then I even opened the blinds. I'll make sure
the fucking. You did. Man. You opened the blinds to make sure it was me today. I'm like, hey. Raining on me and shit. Yeah. But when this went all the way to the Supreme Court in June, John Roberts sided with the four liberal justices on the court to keep that question off. And I just want to ask those four justices who dissented on that, like, where are you getting the legal precedent? It doesn't exist.
Well, no, it doesn't. But it's not the only time that question. It used to be on the census up until 1950.
Up until 1950.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's not like you could argue it's not It is. I wouldn't say unprecedented, but it's been on there before, whether it should have been or not.
Right.
But 1950s was a weird decade.
Absolutely. And then again, like immigrants do that citizenship quest. Like there wasn't a lot of immigration in the 1950s in the United States.
I want to see numbers on that, Dave.
Okay, I got numbers right here. There was a lot of immigration Dave. In the late 1800s, the early 1900s. But after World War II, immigration was at an all-time low.
It's Check true.
That shit out.
So it was Wilbur Ross in 2018 who wanted to add, obviously he was under direction from the Trump administration.
There was a living Wilbur in 2018.
I think living is stretching it.
Wilbur. Well, if Wilbur says it, fuck.
Fuck, someone's named Wilbur? Jesus. So, there's other ways to get an idea of immigration and undocumented workers here. There's actually census that they send out individually to see how many immigrants and how many are documented or not documented. That they do on a much smaller scale, and it's more like a poll rather than a census where you count every single person. So
right.
those numbers are out there, and it's not the role of the census to figure out how many immigrants are sucking the welfare from the states. It's just to see how many fuckers are out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that should be an amendment to the thing. How many fuckers are in the United States?
Right. And it's interesting. It's like, you know, the whole idea that, like, you know, asking that citizenship question would, you know, have something to do with voting rights and the enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. It just doesn't mesh. The census and voting are independent things. They're independent ideas. They're not completely related to each other. It doesn't enable or disable anybody to vote. What it does do is it reallocates membership in the House. So if you have more people living in a state that, when they do become citizens, when they do become documented, they tend to vote more Democratic, then you're going to see a major switch over when you have the next census.
So what you're saying is that the Republicans, once again, are using a political tool to hinder voting.
Absolutely. Long-term voter suppression. It might not matter in this election, but they're thinking to 2024, 2028, and every single House election from now.
Fuck, I wish I looked this up. But there was a guy who, he's a Republican strategist. He died a few years ago, but his daughter turned over his computer to the FBI, mm-hmm. and it had notes of how to...
Did it have Hunter Biden's emails on there?
Well, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
But it had notes on how... I can't remember his name, but it had notes on how to keep the Republicans in power. And one of his big things that he was pushing was for a citizenship question on the census, because he knew it would turn down immigrants and scare them away, which, as you just said, vote more Democratic. So they were already lining up to do this. I mean, this isn't just coming out. It'll have a long-term effect
on representation,
And you cannot tell me that this is a protection of the census. You can't tell me it's a protection of the United States. It is a political tool that they're using to stay in power. It's that simple.
Especially with the House being elected every 2 years, each census is 5 House elections. Yeah. So it does have immediate consequences in 2 years moving forward to the next time we do the census in 2030 when everybody's going to be dead.
It's going to be that.
Did I say that?
It's going to be that late? Are we going to survive till 2030?
I'm just guessing. I'm just guesstimating.
Ballpark.
Right. Like Mad Max beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah. So we already preached to you that you should vote.
Mm-hmm.
But next time the census comes around, please fill it out.
Yes.
It really is important. It is especially important when you're like, as Dave was saying, distribution of funds. If a natural disaster happens to your state, to your area, it helps people know what the effect is,
right,
and how, what to give them, and how to help them, and where to focus that aid. So
yeah, the census does a lot more than just count people. It actually has real uses.
Would you like to borrow my soapbox, Dave?
I would like to borrow your soapbox.
Cool.
You know what? I might as well, since we're talking about the census, I might as well interject my historical connection now.
Fuck yeah, let's do it. It's
appropriate. All right.
Cool.
So speaking of counting people, as we've discussed earlier, that the United States House of Representatives is based upon proportional representation. And the more people that are living in your state per the enumeration clause in the Constitution, the more representation you get in Congress. Well, back in the day, if you didn't know, there was something called slavery in the United States.
Get the fuck out.
And even Thomas Jefferson himself, who owned a few slaves.
Tommy J.
He actually tried to write a piece into the Declaration of Independence that would have opened the door to end slavery, but no one would have anything to do about it. So that part was left out, but I digress. A few years later, when they're writing the Constitution, the Southern states want to count slaves as part of their population for purposes of representation. So they literally wanted to count people that they didn't consider human beings. And even if they did consider them human beings, they didn't think that they should have any rights whatsoever. And they wanted to count them as part of the population, which is absolutely insane.
That is insane. I didn't know that.
No, yeah. So the most of the northern states, they were like, that's a bunch of bullshit, obviously. you don't call them people. You call them things, and you want to count things. And literally, on the floor of Congress, they're like, you don't count your chickens and your cattle and your chimney on your house and your daughter and wife. Oh, wait, never mind. You know, you're not counting all of your – you're not trying to count other pieces of property as individuals, but you are your slaves. And then they came up with the bullshit, well, they are people. They got two arms and two legs and a head and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the North was like, hell no. And the South was like, hell yeah. So they came up with what was called the Three-Fifths Compromise.
I didn't know that's where it came from.
Yeah, very good. See, learning a little bit of history.
God damn, you're doing it to me again.
Yep. So what they decided in the end is that three-fifths of a state's slave population could be counted for purposes of representation and taxation. So that's why it's not an even one-half. That's why it's three-fifths. So when it came to representation, the slave states would get a little bit more, but then the property owners of slaves would have to pay a little more than half in property tax. And that's how they got through that part of representation to ratify the Constitution.
Holy, I'm going to give it up to you on that one. That was good.
How about them apples?
That was really good.
So yeah, they took a human being and cut him in three-fifths. Merca, fuck yeah.
Merca.
Oh, man. But what's kind of crazy, too, it's like, of course, that all... That, and that was true until the end of the Civil War when the 13th Amendment was passed in 1865 to abolish slavery once and for all. But, you know, that is only about... that's less than 200 years ago. So if you really think about the scope of change that has happened in this country in such a short period of time, it's pretty remarkable. So one thing that always kind of gives me hope, Brandon, I know sometimes we think about, you know, we get a little hopeless sometimes.
We do.
And I'm injecting drugs into your arm and you're yelling at me for opening up drink bottles and the dogs are barking and we're all pissed off and shit because the world's going to hell and back. But things typically progress in this country. And sometimes they take a few steps backwards, like they have been recently, but I'm feeling a little optimistic.
We'll get there. Just
we'll get there.
Takes a little bit at a time.
After Roe v. Wade gets overturned, after gays can't get married anymore, after pre-existing conditions don't get covered, then eventually they'll all come back and we'll be happy again. And
yeah.
In time for us to die in 2030.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, so we got a goal, 2030. Speaking about gays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Or as my grandma would say, the gays.
Oh, I actually, this just came to me off the top of my head. In San Francisco, in California in general, they had Prop 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
we're over a half an hour in with the first dog bark.
Yeah, there it is. Yes! He knows about Prop 6. The punk rock community held a show that said that the show was called Nick's Prop 6 Save the Homos.
That's great.
It's like, way to build it up. Okay.
Yeah, just a little.
I like the sentiment, but maybe your message needs a little work, guys.
Maybe they should stick to making noise with their instruments.
And speaking about a band that likes to piss people off, the Dead Kennedys were
the Dead Kennedys.
The Dead Kennedys came out with Save the Homo.
Save the Homo. Oh, God, the Dead Kennedys. That's great.
Yeah. But our other favorite gay guy, PDB.
Mayor Pete. Pete Buttigieg, baby.
Oh, he's got a, he signed up for an agent. I can't remember what the agency is, but now he's going on like news programs and he's getting book deals and all sorts. And he's been kind of stumping for Biden and Harris, mm-hmm. of course, being the Democrat good boy that he is.
Yep.
But he has been going on Fox News and fucking killing it.
Yes, he has. And you introduced me to some of those little snippets today. I had quite the entertainment, I have to say.
But my favorite one is just before the vice presidential debates, he went on Fox News, and they were trying to goad him into a question of why is Kamala Harris going back from Medicare for All? Now she's stumping with Biden with the just keep Obamacare, kind of flesh it out a little bit. So his quote back was, there's a classic parlor game of trying to find a little bit of daylight between running mates. If people want to play that game, we could look into why evangelical Christian like Mike Pence want to be on the ticket with someone who's been caught with a porn star.
And why does he have to say that? That's like plain as day, yeah, I mean, in front of your face.
That should have been like before the 2016 election.
Right.
Like, what's that word? You fucking hypocrite.
Oh, man. I can't believe the level to which evangelicals have been duped by this, like, evil human being.
I think maybe, like, you're run-of-the-mill, you're evangelical that just goes to their fucking mega church and
yeah,
tries to pray away the gay and all that shit. I think they've been duped, but the leaders certainly have not been duped. They know exactly what they're doing. They're doing it because they can get what they want.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a rise in these new churches popping up. They're called patriotic churches, which are just...
Isn't that like an oxymoron?
Right, exactly. Right.
I mean, give Caesar what is Caesar's, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I can quote the fucking Bible, dude.
Yeah, you did.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, but there's new churches popping up that have a legitimate political purpose.
Yeah.
They're called patriotic churches.
I think there's one by Jungle Jim's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a big international store for our listeners out there. It's a huge, huge international supermarket, and it's kind of in like a strip mall type. Well, they are the strip mall, basically, but there's other businesses around it. Now they have, I forget what the church is called, but it's something really original, like the churchy church or some shit.
Church of throwing the word lamb or something goofy like that.
Yeah, I don't think he was even that clever.
Yeah. It's like we should go. We should go to an evangelical church. We need to go to an evangelical church and report back on an episode.
I have to get fucked up.
Well, we will get fucked up.
I mean, like I want to know how high up is.
Really high.
Yeah.
Higher upper than you can imagine.
Cool. I've been to enough church.
For a while.
For my life, man. I'm good, but we can do it. I'll do it for the show.
Tapping out on the church.
I'll do it for the show. How about that?
Yeah. Do it for the show. We'll do it.
Yeah. We'll do a whole episode on it.
And we can go shopping at Jungle Gyms after.
Oh, now I'm in. Now I'm in.
Yep.
I love Jungle Gyms.
But if we go out to eat after church, we have to make sure to tip the waiter or waitress well.
Why? I mean, I do anyway, but why?
Because usually church people after church don't tip well. So we have to make sure that we do.
Isn't that's
statistically true?
I believe you. Yeah. I believe that one. That's of course it is.
Yeah,
of course it's fucking true.
Your good deeds will be paid back by God.
They're like,
here's a nickel. God damn it, you Bob Evans eating motherfuckers.
There is a Frisch's right there.
Oh yeah, Frisch's, Bob Evans, Cracker Barrel.
ooh, can we wear khakis and And, like, white socks with black shoes.
I'm putting on a long dress and putting a bun in my
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah. We're going. Make sure you walk 5 feet behind me at all times.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Okay.
So, am I going to be the man, I guess, I assume, since you're going to be in a dress? Or should we both go in dresses?
Yeah.
And, like, have 5 o'clock stubble.
Absolutely.
And just, like, play it off like it's completely normal. And don't even, like, try to change your voice. Just talk even deeper. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wonder how long we'd last.
Not very long.
I don't know. Are they that confrontational?
I think they would look at us for a while, and then I think we would be kindly asked to leave.
No.
Whereas we would then refuse.
Of course.
And then it would get good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get dragged out going, save the homos?
Absolutely. We can say whatever we want. It's free country.
Cool.
Oh, man. Are we delaying? Are we delaying our tax conversation?
No. No. We had a topic, and we're going for it. So,
all right. Very good.
All right.
Oh, man. Joe Biden and Joey taxes. B. Joey B, baby.
So, do you know Joe Biden's tax plan?
I do know a little bit about Joe Biden's tax plan.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, one of his big things is that he's going to raise taxes on incomes over $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't actually released this, but it might be that it's up to four. So, if you make $500,000, mm-hmm. it's up. So, you won't get taxed for that first $400,000. Mm-hmm. It'll be that $100,000 after that'll be increased in tax.
Okay.
So it's like there's a delay in it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll affect 10% of the population. So 90% of people won't even realize.
Right. Right.
So when people are saying that he's going to tax the middle class and shit, you're wrong. You're just plain wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing in the plan that says he's going to tax people underneath that amount. And one of the big things, I mean, when it comes to taxation in general, the biggest thing that I keep looking at isn't necessarily how much people are paying in taxes, but the disparity that we have in taxes that's growing exponentially between those who have and those that do not have. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And the one thing that I see out of this tax plan that is good is that, like you just said, it doesn't tax the middle class. Now, there are some people that make $500,000 a year. They work very hard for the money. That's not a ton of money.
Right.
So there is going to be some tax burden on people who aren't filthy, stinking rich. But again, how do you have a tax code that is completely perfect and fair for everybody?
And I have an argument against that line of thought.
Go ahead.
So say you earn $100 a year. We're doing low numbers so I can
$100 a year.
We're doing low numbers so I can just do the fucking math, okay?
All right. Yep.
So you earn $100 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you get taxed 2%. Say that's the income tax.
Okay.
That $2 means less to you than someone that would say earn $10. That $2, it's not comparable to someone who's getting 2% of $10.
Yeah.
Because that or $20 for the 100, or you know what I mean.
Let's
see,
I'm
trying low numbers, motherfucker.
Let's use an easier number than 100. You know, we need to find a number that's easier to calculate percentages than one fucking 100.
I was getting to the argument and I got confused in my head. And
deep like, tax analysis,
fucking medicine still wearing off. Jesus,
this is Dave Barton from Smith Barney Incorporated. This financial podcast has been brought to you by two fucking idiots that don't know what they're talking about.
What I'm trying to get across is that if you earn, say you earn that much more than someone who's paying the same amount of tax, the actual amount means a lot more to them than it does to you. So the spending right. power to mm-hmm. them it hits significantly harder
mm-hmm.
than it does someone earning significantly more.
Yes.
So, and the increase isn't that much. It's going from 37% to 39.6%.
Right, it's only 2.6% increase.
It really, yep. If that's going to really break you or stop you investing, then...
Then you need to reevaluate how you spend your money.
Yeah, or what the fuck are you doing?
Yep, yep. And then what do you think also, like, so there's also going to be a large corporate tax increase. What about the argument that people say that if there is a significant corporate tax increase, that there's going to be, again, I'm going to use the word, a trickle-down effect onto employees that will affect their bottom line even without a tax increase?
Well, trickle-down economics has been a myth since Reagan. They called it voodoo-nomics for a reason.
Voodoo economics.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, yep.
And it really, yeah. A higher tax rate doesn't stop corporations from trying to make money. It just doesn't.
Absolutely.
And it has yeah. been proven. And
it's similar to the argument that saying if you raise the minimum wage, they're going to lay people off and cut their benefits and all that.
Right.
Which has a level of logic on the surface. That's why that is always argued, but it's never followed up with the data and actual behavior.
It's a superficial logic.
It's a super... Right. That's a good way to put it. Yep.
It really doesn't work into reality. So Biden wants to increase business taxes from 21 to 28%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going back to that trickle-down economics. during one of the U.S.'s biggest economic booms, and one of the biggest economic booms the world has ever seen in the 50s and 60s after World War II, corporate tax fluctuated between 89 and 91%.
Right. It was extraordinarily high.
I mean, that was during one of the biggest booms ever. Ever.
Yeah.
So telling me that raising it 7% to 28% is going to fuck the economy, I say fuck you.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it really... There's an argument that it should be even higher.
Yeah.
To address income. Because the things that are being done to the middle class, like not raising taxes and then adding a little bit of child care tax credit, adding first-time home credit, that's good. That helps an individual or a family with their bottom line. But in comparison to the effect that percent changes have on large corporations, it's a flash in the pan. It's nothing. So yeah. Even though this is a good plan, it honestly isn't going to do large-scale things to address economic disparity. It's going to help a little bit. It's going to reverse some of the things that Trump has done over the past 4 years.
And Bush. And all the other... And you want to argue about people tanking the economy? Bush. Then he had to get that communist Muslim to help bail out the
right,
the auto industry. And that, isn't that socialism?
That, yes.
And what about the trade war that Trump is having?
Literally controlling the means of production.
Yep. And you want to talk about the trade war with China that Trump's having? Yeah. What about the $21 billion that he's given to farmers? That's socialism. Absolutely. That's socialism 101. That's what they fucking teach you in communist class, I'm pretty sure.
Communism, definitely.
Yeah.
Controlling the means of production, controlling the means of agriculture, literally the government's hand steering and controlling almost every avenue of that.
I mean, Mao called it the agricultural revolution for a reason.
Right.
So, fuck yeah. So, yeah. Raise those taxes.
Yeah. We have a false sense of what capitalism is. And
what socialism and what communism is. It's really a kind of mixed up very, very badly. And right. When people say that Biden's a socialist, he's far from it.
No,
I mean, he's right of center at best.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So his tax plan would they estimate about $3.3 trillion in 10 years?
Yeah, $4 trillion at the most.
And there have been arguments, I think I saw one that it lowered GDP by 1.62%. Mm-hmm. But that's a hard fucking number to come to.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, what he wants to do with that tax is invest in healthcare, which would strengthen your workforce because, you know, A, fucking healthier.
Absolutely.
And education, which would give you a more diverse, more well-rounded, more skill-based workforce, which could be more flexible to the world economy and the changing economy.
And then on top of that, when, you know, Biden's talking about the change, the switch over for fossil fuels to renewable energy and how that's also transforming the economy, you know it's happening. You can't predict exactly how fast it's going to happen because that's very policy-based, but regardless, it's really hard to determine how that's going to affect the overall GDP.
Yeah.
And you
don't have the other external events, the world politics, the events that are going to happen around the world, like natural disasters, things like that. So, I mean, those kind of forecasts, I mean, they happen every year, but they're usually fucking gibber.
Exactly. At the end of the day, his tax plan is a relatively conservative, safe tax plan that doesn't rock the boat too much, does it?
It's like Novocaine of tax plans. It really is. It's kind of numbing effect. Like,
it's the Flomax prostate medicine of tax plans.
Hope you don't run out.
It speeds up the GDP just a little bit.
Fuck, we've spent way too long talking about your prostate.
I know. At least I'm not afraid to talk about it in public, right?
Oh, yeah. Way to go, Dave.
I keep acting like this is going to segue into a sponsorship.
Yeah.
You know what trickles less than my pee?
Our sponsorships.
Our incomes.
So you want to get to the tricky bit?
The tricky bit. Ooh, I like the tricky bit.
So one of the things that Biden is proposing in his tax plan.
Oh, you're talking about taxes still?
Fuck yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the tricky bit. Oh, not that. Damn it.
Is he wants to do what's called a book tax.
Oh, yeah, the book tax.
So, I had no idea what the fuck that meant, so I had to spend Saturday researching this shit.
And I'm sure Republicans are like, fuck yeah, we hate reading books.
Yeah, fucking tax those books.
Tax those liberals.
Tax them before we burn them.
Tax them universities. Yeah, no shit. We call it tax and burn instead of slash and burn.
Okay, so a book tax takes what's the income before depreciation. So it takes the whole revenue of the year of what a company makes.
Mm-hmm.
And then a company can write off certain things like loans.
Is this for both private and public companies, corporations and private?
He hasn't said yet.
Okay, gotcha.
So you can write off loans. So that brings your overall revenue down.
Right.
So then therefore you pay less tax. But he mm-hmm. wants to do it before depreciation, or as accountants would probably know, before EBITDA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even going to fucking explain EBITDA because that's a whole fucking other podcast that you can go learn from a professional.
As any of the other topics you've heard about today, you can listen to a professional podcast.
That's Except okay. for child fuckers.
Oh, man. Nope. We got that covered.
We're number one in that. So that's going to be a big difference. And that's actually, they're saying that could raise $400 billion over the next 10 years because you're not getting those tax write-offs. It's what he's doing is he's trying to close loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even talking about foreign income or things like that. That's just, again, U.S. income. So I think New Yorkers would appreciate this a lot. They have issues where they have corporations just buying buildings and using them as tax write-offs. They don't do anything okay. with them. They don't earn income. It's just a tax write-off. And then they can say they invested X amount of money in there, and that's a write-off. So when, like, Amazon does this really well, they had their fulfillment centers or whatever.
Right,
like that. But they buy huge plots of land.
Huge tracts of land.
I always forget this is audio, not video. I'm talking my hands. But then it's a tax write-off. So they end up paying nothing in taxes, even though they're one of the biggest companies in the world, if not the biggest.
Yeah, they might be the biggest now.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to know about taxes, Dave?
I think for tonight, I think we're pretty fucking good, man. But that's a lot of good information.
Yeah.
That puts it into perspective.
Yeah, and when people say that Joe Biden's going to raise your taxes, not you.
No.
Not you. I guarantee you people listening to this podcast, he's not raising your taxes.
And if he is, you deserve to pay your fair share.
We have a Patreon.
We do have a Patreon.
All right, so I think we've covered most everything we wanted to talk
about. Yeah, I think we've covered a lot today. We've talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about voting. We talked about voting rights. We talked about the census. We talked a lot about taxes. We talked about your neighbor being safe.
He is safe.
We talked about my medical problems.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
And we temporarily solved your anger issue.
Temporarily, but I came back, motherfucker.
Yes, you did. Man, next week, dude.
Oh, I'm nervous.
So, like, for everybody out there, next week is going to be stressful as shit. And, we record in the evenings, and we usually put this out here by, 9 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah.
So if you're waiting for returns to come in and you want a good laugh because you're stressed out and you're scared and don't know what's going to happen, listen to some FDR's Wheelchair.
Join us on Facebook.
Join us on Facebook Live afterwards, and we will make sure the night is entertaining.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
We'll make sure Dave has his prostate medicine.
I'll have my prostate medicine. I will have my church outfit ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yes.
That was weird. But if you want to keep up on what we're doing, join us on Twitter. Again, I'm after a certain congressman, so you could help me on that. It's FDR_wheelchair. We have our Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We got our Facebook page. We got over 50 followers now. Yay.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, we got people who get it every single time. So you need to download those episodes when you get them. You need to listen to them. You need to share them.
Share them.
Like them. Do all that fancy social media stuff to where we get more listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, we need your help. We do.
Desperately.
Really need your fucking help.
No, like we said, we love doing this. And I don't care if we have 5 listeners or 5 million listeners. This is... Awesome.
Yeah, we'll be here. We're here to stay. So,
yep.
If you have any questions, any topics that you want brought up, anything you want us to research and do on our show, give us a shout on Twitter or Facebook or our email, fdrswheelchairpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and next week we might even have a hint about having a new guest sometime soon. Oh, yeah. After election time, we will have a guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make that. Well, we will have a guest.
We will have a guest after the election, because we'll need content one of these days. Right. Like February, nothing's going on.
Right.
Congress is back in session.
And they're doing nothing again.
Jerry Nadler fell asleep during the committee on...
Somebody wake him up again.
Somebody wake him up again.
They should set an alarm next to him.
Somebody flick his jowls to see if they're moving.
Oh, shit. So, yeah. Join us next week.
Yep, join us next week.
For an intense episode.
For an intense episode. And to all of our listeners out there, especially those of you in Alabama, thank you very much.
Yeah. And this is FDR's Wheelchair. Hope you enjoy this episode.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.